For a man who claimed to care nothing for money, Chopin spent an awful lot of it on social window dressing. Not only his gloves and coach, with its requisite coachman, but his manservant, his hairdresser, who attended him daily, the decoration of his apartment, to say nothing of its location, all this cost him a small fortune. But his cultivation by the aristocracy, and his cultivation of them, didn't isolate him from his professional colleagues. Yet, to a certain extent, he was isolated, not specifically by anyone, but within himself, as a result of his own outlook and perspectives. He enjoyed the admiration and friendship of such major figures as Mendelssohn, Liszt, Berlioz, and Schumann, yet he was never really able to reciprocate it. He could enjoy their company, but not their music or their aspirations. The elevation of feeling over form, the glorification of literary, autobiographical, or programmatic references, the pursuit of sensuality and the picturesque, all of this he found repugnant, and it couldn't help but drive a wedge between himself and the musical standard-bearers of his time. As a gregarious expatriate Pole, living in Paris but speaking only halting French amidst a crowd of worshipful admirers, he felt himself at some level to be three times isolated, geographically, socially, and artistically. At the same time, his avid cultivation by the aristocracy was a threefold blessing. In addition to its obvious social benefits, it provided him with a guaranteed and appreciative audience for his music, which saved him the torment of giving public concerts. Most importantly, though, it guaranteed a steady stream of well-heeled pupils whose fees enabled him to live in style. But he was very much more than merely a society teacher. As with every other aspect of his music, Chopin took his teaching very seriously indeed. One of his most important pupils, and a fellow Pole, Karol Mikuli, leaves no doubt on that score.
Chopin daily devoted his entire energies to teaching for several hours, and with genuine delight. Was not the severity, the feverish vehemence with which he sought to raise his pupils to his own standpoint, a guarantee that he had the progress of the pupil at heart? A holy, artistic zeal burnt in him then. Every word from his lips was stimulating and inspiring.
And Maria von Harder, another pupil, bears him out.
Chopin was a born teacher. Expression and conception, position of the hand, touch, pedaling, nothing escaped the sharpness of his hearing and his vision. He gave every detail the keenest attention. Entirely absorbed in his task, during the lesson he would be solely a teacher and nothing but a teacher.
And that was the experience also of Emily von Gretsch.
It's wonderful to see how tactfully Chopin puts one at one's ease. How intuitively he identifies, I might say, with the thoughts of the person to whom he is speaking or listening. With what delicate nuances of behaviour he adapts his own being to that of another. To encourage me, he tells me, among other things, "It seems to me that you don't dare to express yourself as you feel. Be bolder. Let yourself go more. Imagine that you are at the conservatoire, listening to the most beautiful performance in the world. Make yourself want to hear it, and then you'll hear yourself playing it right here. Have full confidence in yourself. Forget you're being listened to, and always listen to yourself. I see that timidity and lack of self-confidence form a kind of armour around you, but through this armour I perceive something else that you don't always dare to express, and so you deprive us all. When you are at the piano, I give you full authority to do whatever you want. Follow freely the ideal you've set for yourself, and which you must feel within you. Be bold and confident in your own powers and strength, and whatever you say will always be good. It would give me so much pleasure to hear you play with complete abandon that I'd find the shameless confidence of the vulgaire unbearable by comparison."
Gretsch discovered that too, and in some of the most technically demanding pieces ever written.
"Chopin showed me the best way of practicing his études. And what a special joy it was to me to be able to play easily what had previously seemed to involve the most perilous difficulties.